This week is faith and faithfulness. And we're going to journey through Abraham's life between chapters 5 and 15 and 22, looking at aspects of faith and faithfulness. You know, Abraham is one of my favorites. In fact, we do ask Jane, who's Simon's favorite character in the Bible, she'd probably tell you Abraham. I think he's a giant in the faith. I love his faith. You know, he features prominently in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Fame. Paul describes him as our father in the faith. And Jesus said of him that he looked ahead and saw my day and rejoiced to see it. Wow. 2,000 years he looked through, saw Jesus and rejoiced. So he's an absolute giant of the faith. In fact, this quote probably is the one that will come to mind if you know anything about Abraham. And that is that he believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. His faith stands out. But you know what? The other reason I love Abraham, and by the way, some of the other characters that I love in the Bibles, David and Peter, are for the same reason. They're flawed, just like me. They keep mucking up. They keep messing up. Abraham does it repeatedly. Andy touched on some of that last week. I'll touch on some of it this week. You think about David, he did the same thing. Peter, the same thing, but they're all characterized as men of God. So Abraham's faith inspires me, but sometimes his behavior gives me hope. Because I know it's not a gold standard and a high bar that I can't get over. He's somebody I can follow. He's somebody I can take after. He's somebody I can be inspired by. So where are we going to go this morning? Well, in a moment I'm going to set a small context for that we set this story within. I've then got four cameos for you. There's really five, but I'm jamming two of them together to make the point. So four cameos from Abraham's life as we look at faith and faithfulness. I'm then going to give you a little cameo from my life to illustrate that I can mess up just as much as Abraham, but God's faith in me and his faithfulness towards me is every bit as good as what Abraham's was. And then it's a response. What do we make of the morning? So that's where we're going. Let me take you to my first cameo. Now, at this point, I'd wanted to create the Harry Potter enchanted ceiling. Anybody familiar with the Harry Potter stories? And I wanted to create the Milky Way up there. And I've talked to a number of people. I said, I got hold of Ben. I said, can we get the room dark? Beth, how do we create this? I couldn't figure it out. So here we have a wonderful picture of the heavenly host at night. And Psalm 19 says the heavens whisper of the glory of God. And one of the things I love doing, particularly in the summertime, late in the evenings, to go down at the darkest part of the garden and look up at the stars. Because they are glorious. But it also reminds me, probably more than the rainbow, in fact, of God's promise, because of this story. So we find Abraham sat in his tent. Night has fallen, and the Lord wanders in. He says, Abraham, come out with me. Come out with me. And he takes him out. I kind of imagine he's got his arm around his shoulder. And he points up at the heavens and says, count them if you can. Count them if you can. So shall your descendants be. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. You're going to bless. And the world's going to be blessed. I missed the context. The context being that God's got a rescue plan. And Abraham was singled out as the man to get creation and humankind brought back into the fold. But that's not the point I want to take from this little cameo at this point in time. The point I want to take from it is that there was nothing that Abraham had done to deserve this. This wasn't a call up because he'd achieved mighty things. Nor had God looked at his CV or his skill set and decided that was the man he needed to recruit for this job. God came along and it was a grace gift. It was a grace gift. There's nothing he'd done to deserve it. And just like that large field open table picture that Dave showed, all he was interested in was the heart. That's all he wanted, a heart that was warm and would respond to him. A heart that would quicken and delight when he heard his voice. A grace gift. And as I was preparing this, I feel God said to me this: there are people in the room that will feel either unqualified or disqualified from the favor of God. My favor, the Lord's favor. But there's no such thing as being unqualified or disqualified from God's favor. Because whether you know him this morning or whether you don't, whether you feel like you're right in the center of God's promises, or whether you feel like you're lost as Dave described with the whale, God's got a grace gift for you. He's calling your name. He wants you to know that he loves you. And guess what? He's also got a unique grace gift for you to help him in this rescue plan, to help him bring the kingdom of heaven on earth today. And he's calling your name. So just as if anybody is in that position of feeling unqualified or disqualified, right now I invite you, just relax. Just let those stresses run away. Quiet that little nagging voice in your head and allow God to whisper, "I love you. I've got a grace gift for you. I'm calling your name." This is the cameo I said I was going to take a liberty with. I'm taking two and jamming them together. Sometimes we try and do God's job for him, don't we? When Abraham got that promise, he was already old. And Sarah was well past childbearing age in an era where fertility treatments didn't exist. Years have now passed. So if they were old before, they're definitely old now. And I don't know about you, but when God speaks to me sometimes and then time goes by, sometimes I find myself thinking things like how, why, when, where, what. So put this into context. Sarah's thinking, how, Lord? I'm way, way past the time when I can have a baby. Or maybe it's, why, Lord? Why haven't I conceived? Abraham's thinking, when? When, Lord? It's years since you took me out and showed me those stars. And so between them, they hatch a plot to do God's job for him. In fact, it's a bit of a bizarre parallel to the Garden of Eden, because the wife comes up with a plan, sells it to the husband, who goes for it, hook, line, and sinker. And it goes something like this. I've got a pretty young maid. Abraham, why don't you sleep with her? Then we'll have kids. Now, there's an obvious flaw in that argument, isn't there? Because the we in that context applies to Abraham and Hagar. It's got nothing to do with Abraham and Sarah. But nonetheless, that's the plan they come up with. And they execute it, and lo and behold, Hagar gets pregnant. So now, the relationship deteriorates between Hagar and Sarah. And the same things start to happen again. So Sarah's mind now. Lord, what happened? Why couldn't I conceive? And in Hagar's mind, I'm bearing him a son. How's about that? And you can see the poison in the relationship. And whether there's verbal abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, the Bible isn't clear, but Hagar runs away. And the Lord finds her in the wilderness. So what's going on? Why are you here? And he lets her know that he's seen, that he's looking after the details. And she goes back. So now fast forward to the second part of this cameo. Isaac's been born, the child of promise. Sarah's conceived. And the glorious day when that celebration is happening. And she sees Ishmael looking at Isaac in a sort of a haughty sort of a, you know, it's like old grandmother and little child. Big brother's watching. And she says this to Abraham, drive out this maid, send her away. Because I don't want that boy there to have any part of the promise. And so Abraham does. He sacrifices his oldest son, because that's what he was. And they go into the wilderness. And when resources have run out and all seems bleak, the Lord shows up and makes promises to Hagar and Ishmael. And Ishmael becomes a child of promise too. Not the promise, but a child of promise. So here's what I take from that story. You know, sometimes I'll start well. I'll ask those questions, the how, what, why. I then try and do God's job for him and leave a trail of collateral damage behind me. But God looks after the details. God's looking after all of the details. So if you're in that place this morning where you look at your life and you think, oh, I've made a mess, I just invite you now to open up your hands, give those things back to God. Say, Lord, would you look after the details? He's faithful. He's faithful. So cameo number three. Now this comes in between the two parts of the previous cameo. Isaac is yet to be born. Hagar has been sent out into the wilderness. So I want you to imagine now that you own a small business. You've got some employees. It's your baby. You brought it to birth. It's your vision. It's where you get your money from. It's your livelihood. It's your pension. It's everything to you. And you have an employee. And you say to that employee, Susan, I've got a job for you. I'd like you to go and do this in this particular way and achieve that particular outcome. And then you find that Susan's gone off and done it her way, and it's produced a radically different outcome, which isn't at all to your liking. What would you do? So welcome to my world, because I coach a lot of business owners, and many of them would be looking for a new employee at that point. A new employee at that point. But God's not like that. And thank God he isn't. So we find Abraham in his tent again. And you can imagine what's going on in his head. Well, we tried that, Sarah, and it didn't work, did it? We've got ourselves into a bit of a mess. I wonder whether God's still with us. I wonder whether the promises he gave us still stand. Can I still go out and look at that starry night and believe? And the Lord shows up. And the Lord says, as for me, my covenant is with you. And he goes on and reaffirms the promise. But here's what I want you to take from it, and what I've taken from it. That was unconditional. It was one way and demonstrated faith and faithfulness and God's belief in Abraham. As for me, I don't know about you, Abraham, but as for me, my covenant's with you. And you know, I just thank God that when I've gone off and done it my own way and then sat down in that corner and said, Lord, are you still there? As for me, my covenant's still with you. I'm still there, still on your side, still batting for you. Praise God. And so we come to the fourth cameo. This is remarkable. And you have to suspend a certain amount of moral judgment involved in all of this and look at it in the full context of what's happened. Ishmael's been born. Ishmael's been born, and Abraham has thrust him out into the wilderness. Sacrificed him, if you like, for the child of promise. Isaac's now been born. And God says to him, how much do you trust me now? Would you do the same thing, the child of promise? Are you prepared to trust me and sacrifice Isaac? So here's a thought for you. When I've read this story in the past, I've always imagined Isaac to be, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5, maybe 7 or 8. But then read the details of the story. I mean, he carried a fair load. And you look at some of the times that have elapsed in between him being born and where that story is. Now, the Bible's not explicit, but a lot of the scholars would argue that he could have been in his 20s. Now, I've got a son in his 20s. You've got a son in his 20s. Can you imagine inviting Ewan to go for this walk with you? Hey, son, I've got this plan. God said to me, we're going to walk. Well, first of all, we're going to ride a couple of days out in the wilderness. Then we're going to walk for an entire day. You're going to take all the wood, by the way. I thought, I'm getting a bit old. So you're going to have to do the heavy lifting. I've got a dagger. I've got a flaming torch to set fire to the wood. And we're going to go sacrifice to the Lord. So Ewan's smart, isn't he? Do you think he'd have spotted the obvious mistake? There's something missing. What's missing? The sacrifice. I wonder, had Abraham taken Isaac out at night and showed him the stars? Son, you need to know this story. This is what God said. Did Isaac share something of the faith of Abraham? Because whilst the father was obedient, the son was certainly willing. And then God shows up. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, a name for God that means the Lord will provide. And for me, the thing that jumps out of this story is that when life's difficult and there's challenges to your faith or you've got really important decisions to make, the Lord's name's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will himself provide. Wow. As a footnote, 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus, I think this contains a trail of clues that point to the cross. Radical solution required. We know that just like Adam and Eve falling and being banished from the garden, that eventually the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel line did the same thing and they were carried off into Babylon. And a radical solution is once again required. And God the Son steps up and says, I'm willing. And together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit become Jehovah Jireh and provide the solution to get God's rescue plan back on track. So I promised you I'd tell you a little bit about my story and how it fits in with this. Some of you have seen that psalm before, and some of you know that I committed to writing some verse and some song over the summer in response to the psalms we were reading. I know Kerry circulated this. I was a bit surprised she did, but I know she did. And some of you may have looked at it and thought, what on earth is that all about? But to me, it illustrates the story of Abraham in my life. I told you, I think the last time I stood here, that some time ago, Jane and I believe we were called of God to go and help plant a church in Darlington in the northeast of England. We went. That church grew. We were blessed. It's the nearest thing I think I've ever come to an Acts 2 environment. And then one day, church had grown, years had passed, something really sad happened. There was a disagreement within that church. And it resulted in two groups going two different ways. So here, I sat in your throne room, Lord, captivated by your presence, inextricably entwined in your purposes, is pointing back to the growth in that church. When that split happened, I was twice presented with a choice. On both occasions, by the way, the choices weren't bad, but on both occasions, I chose to go down a direction that didn't necessarily align with the call that had taken us to Darlington that we believe was on our lives. And that's what made the decision I took bad. So now you see, but I determined my own way, struck out my own path, thinking I knew best. But you tracked me, you watched me, you kept me close, and you were there when it all didn't work out. And then some time ago, God tapped me on the shoulder. As for me, my covenant's with you. What about you? Which is where you arrive at, and now I sit again in your house. I can hardly believe what you've done. Reaffirmed dreams. Rekindled vision. Thank you, Jesus. So where have we been this morning? I believe each and every one of us, whether you know Jesus or not, but each and every one of us has a unique call of God on our lives. It's different for each and every one of us because we all bring different things to it. But regardless of what you think you bring, it's a grace gift. You can't earn it. There's nothing that you've got that deserves it. But God's calling your name. And if you haven't heard that real sense, that real call of God on your life, he wants you to hear it this morning. If you're looking at life and feeling like things are a bit of a mess, God looks after the details. You can give those things to him. Trust him with them. God's covenant is with you. It's absolutely unconditional. One way, what he's looking for is that beating heart on the slide that Dave showed earlier on. A heart that's warm to him. As for me, God's saying, my covenant's with you. What about you? What will you do in response? And then finally, the picture of Isaac and the sacrifice. You will face challenges. We all do. They happen. But God is called Jehovah Jireh. And he will provide. He will provide. In a moment, well, Scott, would you and the band come back up, please? And I felt, when I was preparing this, just like Andy, actually, last week, that there is a response to this. We have the prayer team at the back, and they would love to pray for you in any of those dimensions, including what Dave brought earlier on. But if you would like to respond very, very specifically in the moment now, then just like Andy, I'm going to go stand over this side. And I'd be very, very happy to pray for you. God's calling your name. As for me, my covenant is with you. What about you?